Welcome to Words of Inspiration with Reverend James T. Brown, Jr., the lead pastor of Tabernacle of Worship. Let's join today's message in progress.
Today, of course, we're continuing in our series today, Storm Chasers. Storm Chasers. We're continuing in our series. We're going back to the book of Esther. Back to the book of Esther, chapter 5. And today we're going to begin at verse number 1. Esther chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. And here our text reads, it says, "Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so that when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in the sight, or in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him." Now I want you to turn over to the book, to chapter 7. Chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Chapter 7, beginning at verse 1, still in the book of Esther. Here it says, "So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, Who is he, and where is he, that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen." We're speaking again from the subject, Could It Be Your Time, Part 3. Could it be your time? And this is part 3. This is part 3. Oh, this is the juicy part, y'all. This is where it gets really good. So here, even as we read our passage, we see the two storms colliding together. The storm of wrath, which is Haman, is locked onto the storm of apathy, which is King Ahasuerus. But this wasn't by an accident. It wasn't an accident. It was Queen Esther who orchestrated it. She orchestrated it. How did she do it? And why was this effective? Oh, these are good questions. Let's dive in, shall we? Look back with me at verse number 1 of chapter 5. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 5, because it's in this passage that the Queen Esther is confronting her very fears. Verse number 1. "Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel." and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. They wanted us to make sure we knew that it was in the royal house. But yes, here it is. The queen came in her royal apparel. I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, the queen rose early after the 3 days of consecration to go address the king. She got up early. She got up early. She rose up early after the 3 days of consecration. It's important to note that she didn't hesitate. After they spent time in consecration, she didn't hesitate. But while her spirit was sensitive and her heart emboldened in the Lord, she acted on what God had instructed her to do. In other words, she had spent time with God. She spent time fasting, spent time praying. And it wasn't just her. It was all of her maidens. It was all of the Jewish community. All of them were fasting and praying. Something happens when we pray together, y'all. Something happens when we pray together. Here it is. They had sacrificed themselves. They consecrated themselves, rather, and came together as a sacrifice because they were believing God to do this thing for them. Here it is. She was afraid to go before this man, this king, and she knew what was at risk. But she was believing in God and she spent time with him. She spent time. And when she got up, while she was filled with strength, while her faith was strong, she moved. Listen to me. When you finish fasting and praying, you don't sit there and wait 2 or 3 days and then go have a fat burger, be picking at your teeth and then say, I guess I better go do what I was supposed to do. No, no, no. The second you finish fasting and praying, that's when you move because your spirit is open. Your heart is ready to receive from the Lord. Remember, the whole purpose is to take, there's an old phrase that they used to say concerning fasting, is you're taking your umbilical cord and detaching it from the world, the earth, and you're attaching it to the spirit. So now you're being fed by the nutrients from heaven. This is where she was. And she was ready. She did not want to wait. Even while she was afraid. Even while she didn't know what was going to happen. She said, I must go and do what he's called me to do. I must go and do what he's called me to do. So while facing her fears, while trembling, the queen went before King Ahasuerus. I want you to notice something else. Notice that Queen Esther dressed in her royal attire. Notice that. She dressed in her royal attire. She took the time to dress in what would please her king and not in her everyday clothes. You see, she was dressed to get his attention and to handle business. To handle business. I want to take a moment. This isn't really about a lesson about apparel or fashion. This is a lesson about understanding your assignment. Remember, you put on clothes and it represents your assignment. Before you go out to your job, you put on the clothes for your assignment. If you're a bus driver, you put on the proper clothes to put that you're needing to drive the bus. If you're a police officer, you put on the clothes that you need to conduct business as a police officer. If you're a doctor, you put on the clothes, the coat, the lab coat, whatever it is to conduct the business of being a doctor or in the medical profession. So you put on the right clothes. She did not just wear anything. She put on her royal apparel. Why did she do this? Because the royal apparel, her royal attire, it signified her role. It signified her position. When she was going to handle the business that God had called her to do, I want you to realize something, that oftentimes we're called to do something, but we dress down when we need to dress up. We need to dress up into what God is calling us to do. I'm not talking about just putting on a shirt and tie to put on a shirt and tie. No, I'm talking about putting on what is signifying your assignment, your position, your calling, what you're called to do. Listen, sometimes we dress down too much and we're dressing too casual to not really be able to walk in what he's called us to do. You see, this casual dress isn't speaking, again, about your attire. It's speaking about your attitude. It's speaking about your mindset. She had a mindset that she said, no, I'm not just going any kind of way. I'm going because I'm going to handle business as the queen. I'm going to handle business as the queen. Listen, you got to be able to understand that king in you, that queen in you. When it's time for you to handle your business, time for you to do what he's called you to do, time to walk in your anointing, time to walk in your power, time to walk in what he's called you to do, you need to go ahead and place that on yourself. Place the attire on. Dress clothed. Let your mind be clothed. Clothed in that very thing so that you can walk in the power of it. Don't worry about what other people are looking at and saying. You go knowing who you are and what you are so you can fulfill what he's called you to do. Here, she put on her royal attire and she went before the king to handle the business that needed to be handled. Look with me at verse number 2. Here in verse 2, it says, and it was so. When the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, what wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given thee, it shall even be even given thee, to the half of the kingdom, to the half of the kingdom. Here, when the king saw her and he saw where she was dressed, how she was dressed, he saw that she came to handle business. He gave her favor and extended the golden scepter. Extended the scepter. As the scepter was extended, the queen touched the top of it. And the king offered to answer her request up to half the kingdom. Right then, he was ready to say, look, half of this is yours. What is it that you want, baby? He said, I'll give you half of it. What is it that you want? Here it is. God had touched the king's heart as Queen Esther had operated in obedience. Listen, I want you to understand, we must take the time to follow after what God tells us to do. Let me say that again. We must take the time to follow after what God tells us to do. I need somebody to type in chat, follow God's instructions. Follow God's instructions. You have to follow what he tells you to do. Follow what he tells you to do. Listen, don't try to do it your way and then ask him to bless your mess. No, you follow it his way, even if it means being uncomfortable, even if it means being in a position where you're like, Lord, I don't really want to do this. I don't really want to be here. But you do it because it's what he's called you to do. Do it because you want to follow the instructions and be obedient. Be obedient to what he's called you to do. Look with me at verse number 4. Verse number 4, it says, and Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him, Queen Esther wanted to create the right environment to ask her question. She understood that this had to be asked in the right atmosphere. She didn't rush it. Listen, this is a lesson for some of y'all. There's some things you have to make sure that the atmosphere is right before you open up your mouth. You need to make sure the atmosphere is right before you pose a question, before you ask for what it is that you want or and or need. You got to make sure that the atmosphere is right, not just because you want to get it off your chest, not just because you want to voice your opinion, not just because you want everybody to hear you, but do you want to be heard or do you want results? You got to ask yourself that question. What is it that I'm trying to accomplish? Am I just trying to get it off my chest so everybody will know how I feel and I can still stay in the same situation, in the same position, and keep going around the same mountain? Is that what I want? Or do I truly desire change? Because if I desire change, I won't just look to release my emotion. I'm going to wait and to understand how to communicate effectively that I can effect change. that I can effect change. This is what the queen realized. She didn't want to rush this situation. She went on to schedule a banquet and requested for the king and Haman to be present. Can somebody type in chat for me, be discerning? Be discerning. You've got to be able to pause. I know you want to say something. I know it's on the tip of your tongue. And I mean, oh, you want to say it. Oh, my. You want to address the elephant in the room and say, hey, look here. But you got to be able to pause, pump your brakes for a second and say, you know what? I need to wait for a moment. This isn't the right time. You see, you'll be able to discern it when you quiet yourself, when you spend time in consecration. You'll sit there and you know the Spirit's letting you know, nope, don't do it now. Don't do it now. You're like, why not? You're like a lion in a cage going back and forth. You want to come out and say, wait a minute. No, he said, no, don't say it now. Wait, just wait. You're like, oh my gosh. Okay, Lord, I'm away. He wants you to be discerning. Be discerning so you understand. Be discerning. She didn't just blurt out what was on her mind. She didn't. Her spirit was sensitive and she understood that this wasn't the time. But she wanted to prepare for the right time and moment. She wanted to prepare for the right time and moment. Now, there's a lot that's going on here. I want to create this image. I want to help you see this. Because at this time, Haman then went home to spend time with his wife and friends. Haman went home and he just always said, oh my God, this is just, I can't believe this. The queen want me and the king to come up in it. Nobody else. She didn't invite nobody else. She invited your boy. I mean, that's how he's thinking. He's like, oh, I'm going down there. So he goes and tells his wife and all this kind of stuff. But something happens. I want you to understand this. Here's a truth we must understand, and you'll see it in just a moment. Here's a truth we must understand. Oftentimes, much is revealed about us by the things that annoy us. Let me say that again. Oftentimes, much is revealed about us by the things that annoy us, that annoy us. Why do you say this, Pastor? I want you to know this about Haman. Haman, who has much going for him, from his wealth to position. He just got this position. He's got power. But he's driven to rage and anger by what? By when Mordecai doesn't bow his knee before him. When he doesn't bow down prostrate before him, this gets all over him. It bugs him. It drives him crazy. And so he goes home and he's like, he's telling them, oh, he's bragging about all this stuff. He's talking about all those things that he'd gone through. Listen, I mean, Haman, in fact, the reality is that he has an arrogant nature instead of a humble spirit. That's part of the reason why this bugs him so much. He has an arrogant nature. He's not humble at all. In fact, we see as he goes home that, again, he's bragging. He's bragging about the things that he has and the invitation that he got from Queen Esther to dine with her and the king. Oh, this boy is just going off. He's like, yes, you know, I'm it. I'm it, y'all. And this is all he's thinking about. However, then he says, but all of this means nothing as long as Mordecai is sitting at the king's gate. How is it you have all of these things? Everything. Most people would consider you to be an extremely blessed man. But yet, this one thing that this one man is doing bugs you so much that it's more important to you than anything else. So driven by pride, Haman has no peace as long as Mordecai was there. Because of this spirit, we're about to witness, watch this, the truth that we find in Proverbs 16 and 18. And what does it say there? It says this: pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We pray that it was a blessing to you. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to join us for our regularly scheduled services at Tabernacle of Worship. You will also be able to get this entire message. Please feel free to visit our website at www.taboworship.org. That's www.taboworship.org for more information.